Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
Good to see everyone. All the smiling faces. So glad to be here. You feel like Old Powell would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. It's me again. God is good. He's so faithful. And man, I tell you, it's always an honor and a pleasure to speak His word and to go through it, even though, you know, sometimes it's short notice. But this is what you have to do sometimes. We have to be ready. You never know. So we're going to get started here. We're going to go back to our Torah portion, back in Bereshit 45. That's where we left off at last week. But before we get started, we're going to lay down a couple of things that I'd like to share. Last week, if you remember last week, our Messiah became four things. Remember? Wisdom, righteousness, set apartness, and redemption. And that redemption, let me tell you, was so valuable, so important, and even to the way we talked about it on Wednesday night. And we looked at a few scriptures on each one of them, and we just kind of commented. We had a great night. It was a great talk on Wednesday night. So if you wasn't there, maybe I'll try to bring up the speed as much as I can. But just because we're going to see this redemption in this again. So this is, to me, today was very important. I had a chance to sit down and just have some real one-on-one time without a whole lot of disturbances. But let me lay down something right here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's look at verse 19. The question is asked each and every one of us. This is Shaul speaking. Started up with Shaul last week, and here we are again. He said, "Or do you not know that your body is the dwelling place of the set-apart Spirit who is in you, which you have from Elohim, and you are not your own?" What a question. That's a mouthful right here. And don't you know that? At least right now, by now, we should know. As soon as we've been along, we should know. He says, "For you were bought with a price." Verse 20. "Therefore esteem Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are of Elohim." I mean, you know, that spirit's out there. That's not his. Some people might try to say it's his, but it's really not. How do we know? Because you know, scripture says you know them by their fruit. So if you turn with me to 1 Peter, we're going to see what this price is. 1 Peter 1. We're going to start around. Verse 17. Let's start around 17. "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you are redeemed from your futile behavior, inherited from your fathers, not what is corruptible, silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Messiah, as a lamb unblemished and spotless, foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but manifested in these last times for your sakes, who through him believed in Elohim, who raised him from the dead and gave him esteem, so that your belief and expectation are in Elohim." This you're going to see this redemption and this lamb. I just going to come into play in our Torah portion. I just want to, this little groundwork right here. I mean, you know, but this precious blood that I mentioned on Wednesday night, Hebrews talked about how much more severe is going to be for those who trample on the foot of the Son of Elohim. Man, what a warning to the believer, to you and I, and not only to us, those who say they follow him. A lot of people say that, but I don't think they really get the concept of what it really means to follow him. Follow him will take you places and put you in spots where you're uncomfortable, where to you and ask questions. Mm-hmm. Or it'll put you on a journey to where, like, man, it almost makes you feel like you're not worthy. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you, I don't take this lightly. This is very serious. You know, these scriptures that I read, and just it ministers to you when you're going through them. Mm-hmm. So I just want to share that with you, because we're going to go over now to our Torah portion in Bereshit, in Genesis chapter 45. I'm going to take off from there. But that's just a little groundwork right here that we have to cover. Just let you know that you and I, as followers of Messiah, it costs somebody. Mm-hmm. It costs something. And we learned that. We learned that, and I guess I'm just kind of driving that nail in just a little bit deeper. It's in Bereshit chapter 45, verse 1. He said, well, here we go again, reading verse 1.
Amen.
And Yosef was unable to restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he called out, have everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Yosef made himself known to his brothers. Remember we covered that last week. He's welled up right here. He can't hold it in any longer. It's about to burst. And he wept aloud. And the Mishraites in the house of Pharaoh heard it. And imagine all these years. And Yosef said to his brothers, I am Yosef. Ani, Yosef. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were unable to answer him, for they trembled before him. And Yosef said to his brothers, please come near to me. And when they came near, he said, I am Yosef, your brother, whom you sold into Mitzrayim. And do not be grieved. And now, do not be grieved nor displeased with yourself because you sold me here. For Elohim sent me before you to preserve life. You know, we talked about this a little bit. We went back and read that story. It seemed like something so terrible that they did to their brother. But Elohim is the mastermind behind all this. This is so beautiful. To preserve life. It says, for two years now, the scarcity of food has been in the land. And there are still 5 years in which there is neither plowing nor harvesting. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to give life to you by great escape. Now, as I was going through this today, I thought about that Amos account, that Amos 8. I said, there's going to be a famine, but not for food or wine or water, but for the word. Man, can you imagine that day coming where we learn, we have to hold on to. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Y'all know. We don't know. They may strip our Bibles from us. Or they may put the lock on these doors. What do we do? Where do we go? All these questions are going to come out. People are going to be looking to you. Share some word with me. Give me something. So I think about that when I read this. Verse 8, so then you did not send me here, but Elohim. And he has set me for a father to Pharaoh, and master of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Mitzrayim. What a position. Hurry and go up to my father, and say to him, thus says your son Yosef, Elohim has made me master of all Mitzrayim. Come down to me and do not delay. Remember when we had that come down 3388? Yarad? Remember in the tent? They come down to the folks we really want to learn in the house.
Face in the tent.
Just some of these words that stick out when you read it, it should jump at you because some of these words we covered already. It says in verse 10, you shall dwell in the land of Goshen. And then remember Goshen. Mm-hmm. No, we better know Goshen because God was thought this all over tomorrow. Remember, we were threatened by that already. So we better learn this word Goshen. And be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. And I shall provide for you there. What comforting word. lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, because 5 years of scarcity of food are still to come. This is serious time, right? Back then in this day. And I believe right now we're heading in that area. And it'll be up to you and I to hold the line. And look, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. And you shall inform my father of all my esteem in Mizraim, and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. And he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers spoke with him. And the report of it was heard by the house of Pharaoh, saying, the brothers of Yosef have come. And it was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, say to your brothers, do this. Load your beasts and go, enter the land of Canaan, and take your father and your household and come to me. And I give you the best of the land of Mizraim, and you eat the fat of the land. And you have been commanded do this. Take wagons out of the land of Mizraim for your little ones and your wives, and you shall bring your father and come. And do not be concerned about your goods. How many people today, they're concerned about their goods? But let me tell you, your goods don't do you no good in the end. We have to hold on to him. We're going to need him. When all else is failing, we better hold on to him. Your goods won't do you no good. But he says right here, do not be concerned about your goods, for all the best of the land of Mizraim is yours. And the sons of Yosef and the sons of Yisrael did so. And Yosef gave them wagons according to the mouth of Pharaoh, and he gave them food for the journey. And he gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. Verse 23. And he sent to his father this, 10 donkeys loaded with the best of Mizraim, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and food for his father for the journey. Mm-hmm. Very, a little bit of reading here, so we're going to pause right here. Because we got to look, I told Father Lord, I said, we're going to look at these donkeys tonight. I mean, you know, look, we see this word here, we're like, we know what this is. We know what donkeys are. It's H2543. Hamor. Hamor is the male donkey. Let's take our little young man over there. We're going to leave the real name out. We know what it is. We all grown up in here. And the King James pointed out. But the world, it almost makes it sound like a cuss word if you say it. Now, you know, this is just what it is. You know, but how you use it outside of the boundary. If you try to go outside the boundary, that's why the heck is there. So you don't go in that area. Some people use this word in a vulgar way. Yeah. Is that the way nice is?
Amen. Good deal.
Now this Hamor in the ancient Hebrew, which I'm going to just point it out, and maybe something I'm going to use from on Wednesday because I really haven't got the gist of it. But it means boil and tar. Now, how you get ball and tar out of a donkey, that part I didn't understand too much. A dark, thick, slimy substance, often called bitumen, is released from the bottom of water pools, rising to the surface in bubbles, seen as a today. Literally, I sat down today and put all this together as quick as possible. Just to have, you know, was praying just to have something for tonight. But this butamine is a sticky, highly vitreous petroleum-based substance, either naturally occurring or residue from crude oil or oil distillation. A primary binder in asphalt, concrete for roads or roofing. So this stuff was back in Bible days. Now I'm gonna give you a scripture on it because it's there, but it's not gonna be our focus. But I want you to have just the information because, like I said, we may come back and look at this for Bible study on Wednesday. But in Genesis 14, and look at verse 10. And the valley of Siddim had many tar pits. You know that this is in the scripture. How it connects to the donkey, to the chamor. That's going to be something that. And the sorrow of Sidon and Amorah fled and fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. So this is the valley of Siddim, where the five kings against four. So I just wanted to point it out to y'all right here in the scripture that it's in there. But these, so we're talking about male donkeys right here. So looking at the outside of the scriptures, I come across there's three types of donkeys. There's a miniature, which grows only 33 to 34 inches. There's a standard donkey, which I'm almost sure that a lot of them at that time had, is 36 to 48 inches. And there's the mammoth, grows up 56 inches in its height. It has the same color as this dun red, this male donkey that it's talking about right here. So this is just some Google information that I look at. I probably wouldn't spend much time in it, but the word donkey, these donkeys are mentioned 96 times in the scripture. Amen. So I think we're gonna at least take a little time out to look at donkeys, because why? There's a couple of famous stories in the scripture talks about donkeys that we need to learn from. So let's look at some of these. Look at this a little bit. So bear with me. 96 times mentioned. That's in the Torah portion. In the Torah. That's not counting the Brit Hadashah or the New Testament. They were used for riding, carrying loads, also plowing fields. They also have significant symbolic meaning. Now we think about donkeys sometimes as an animal that's stubborn or things like that, but you know, the scripture paints a little bit different picture. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at this, but there are some that are stubborn. They can be. They represent peace. Wow. Humility. And service. And a stark contrast to the horse, which symbolizes war. So the horse is used for battle, but war. These donkeys are used for service. Showing humility and peace. A donkey? We get a bad connotation when we think about the word donkey. We think negative. Scripture doesn't paint it that way. And I'm going to show you that. Donkeys were also used for tasks that showed compassion. Like the Good Samaritan's use of a donkey to carry an injured man to safety. And you can find that story in Luke 10, 25 to 37. They put the word beast right there, put it with your own beast. Well, that's what a donkey is, if we look according to definition. Well, let's look at it right here, one day where it's first mentioned. How many know that first mentioned is very important? We heard that. So we got to go back to that. So back in Bereshit, chapter 12, and let's go to verse 10. Let's start at verse 10. Genesis. Okay, Bereshit, okay, you got that. And the scarcity of food, I mean, we're talking about scarcity of food in yourself. Here we go right here. And the scarcity of food came to be in the land. And Abram went down to Mizraim wife, "See, I know that you are a beautiful woman to look at." Pay attention, fellas. "And it shall be when the Mishrites see you that they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they shall kill me, but let you live. Please say, 'You are my sister.'" He's putting his life in his wife's hand. Uh-oh. Sometimes, folks, we've got to pay attention to one alongside of us. "See," or she can say, he treated me ugly. He was a dead man. So this is a special story right here. "And that it shall be when the Mishrites, they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they shall kill me, but let you live. Please say you are my sister, so that it shall be well with me for your sake, and my life be spared because of you.' And it came to be when Abram came into Mizraim that the Mishrites saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. And Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. And he treated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and cattle and male donkeys, and male and female servants, and female donkeys and camels." So let's look at this. I'm just going to give you a little jump right here. Female donkey. So we got to touch on that also. It's H860, a thong. So we got to just wait a minute. We still got to get through these male donkeys. But Yehovah plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plague because Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not inform me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? And so I was going to take her for my wife. Look, here is your wife, and take her and go." And Pharaoh commanded. Here we go again. Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. So this is the first time we see the word donkey that's mentioned in the scripture, male and female. That's what I thought that was just so important to point out. It's so important. That in Exodus chapter 20, it's even mentioned in your Ten Commandments. So in Exodus chapter 20, in verse 17, it says, "You do not covet your neighbor's house. You do not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, or whatever belongs to your neighbor." Just want to show you some little key points in here. But the one that struck me the most, and now we're going to get to a little bit of the meat of the word here, is back up to chapter 13. Exodus 13. Verse 11. Very important. This to me was the highlight as I was going through this today. That man talking about the nugget right here. In verse 11, "And it shall be when Yehovah brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall give over to Yehovah every one that opens the womb, and every firstborn that comes from your livestock. The males belong to Yehovah." Verse 13. "But every firstborn of a donkey you are to ransom with a lamb." That's the key verse right there. "And if you do not ransom it, then you shall break its neck. And every firstborn of man among the firstborn animal. It commit no sin. It's no wrong. I mean, why? What you mean redeem it? If I don't redeem it, but a lamb, how you know? Sometimes we firstborn, how you know we needed redemption? Well, our neck was broken. The only thing physical, when you read, we got to think spiritual sometimes. But we could have been this firstborn, and then if we're not redeemed, your adversary wants to do what? Break your neck. I mean, we have an adversary out there. So let me finish reading, then we'll come back and touch up on all this. He said, and it shall be, when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what is this? Then you shall say to him, by strength of hand, Yehovah brought us out of Mitzrayim, out of the house of bondage. And it came to be, when Pharaoh was too hard to let us go, that Yehovah killed every firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore, I am slaughtering to Yehovah every male that opens the womb, but every firstborn of my sons I ransom. Did I tell you this redeemed? We talked about last week how this would come into play. And it shall be a sign on your hand and a frontlet between your eyes, for by the strength of hand, Yehovah brought us out of Mitzrayim. We were stuck. Mm-hmm. You and I couldn't get out. We needed someone to ransom. I couldn't get out. I needed someone to ransom me, my life. I'm a firstborn son. And I'm a dad. I needed a redeemer, literally needed a redeemer. Ransom with a lamb or break its neck. Think about that verse 13. This law alone with the similar command to redeem the firstborn son was a reminder of Yah's power to save and consecrate every firstborn to him, signifying that all life belongs to him and is preserved only by his mercy. The substitutionary sacrifice of another and the substitutory sacrifice of another animal. It cost another animal for the life of that donkey. Mm. Everything costs. We think that there's no cost. That's why the Corinthians and Peter, that your life cost. Because, and what was the price? Blood. And if we squander that blood, we're in trouble. That's why I come. Make sure I let y'all lay the warning out first. Then when we go back and read everything up, but the people, we have to get the warning out. Remember, the fruit's not for you and I. It's those for those outside here. There's a lot of people that you and I know that need to be redeemed. If not, they're next book. The donkey, considered an unclean animal, could not be sacrificed. That's one thing. Therefore, to be redeemed or bought back from its original ownership by Yah, it had to be substituted with a clean, sacrificial lamb. You and I had to be sacrificed. A lamb had to take our place. We just seen that last week. How important that was, the lamb that was slaughtered for you and I. You remember the thing? What? Man. If the owner chose not to redeem it, the donkey had to be destroyed by having his neck broken, emphasizing the seriousness of the law. This is what this points to. Let me tell you, it seems like it's uncruel. This is Yah's way. It's not my way. It's his way. Either one said, we got to redeem it. It's not going to break his neck. And that's just at the end of that. So you and I, we're so filthy, we're so dirty, we needed a redeemer. We needed that sacrificial lamb that paid that price for you and I. So I just thought this part here was very, very, very important. The same principle applied to human firstborn sons who were to be redeemed with a lamb sacrifice or its monetary equivalent. This was not a literal sacrifice of the child, but a symbolic ransom ransoming the people of Yah's power and mercy during the Passover, when he spared the firstborn of Israel by striking down the firstborn of Israel. I just read that to you. This is what you find when you want. Look, this, when Brother Rob called me yesterday, I didn't have a single note one. I was almost like in a panic mode. I'm like, man, you know what? And I said, you know, you should be ready. Why you don't have, I got material, but just I don't have nothing put together. And I said, well, and he called me and said, brother, I ain't gonna make it. I'm like, oh boy, no problem. And I started to make a phone call. I said, but no, I refused to make that phone call. I said, you know what, I'm gonna take the tab. If you don't give me something between now, I'm gonna have to sit down on this one. So today, I got a phone call. Yeah, my brother called. He said, man, they got you on watch tomorrow. I said, okay, good. I didn't have to do a thing today, but be on watch. But while I was on watch, let me open my eyes to something in your word. And here we got this donkey.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, whoa, how important this is, huh?
What?
The law highlighted that the firstborn of everything, both human and animals, belong to Yah. We all belong to Him, no matter what it is. He said the earth is His, and everything in it. Above the sea, under the sea, no matter where you're at, or what it is, it's all His. The practice of redemption demonstrated the life is a gift from Yah, and must be recognized as his through obedience and substitutionary sacrifice. How do you know just take sacrifice? To come out and look, to ask Him in such short notice to be, you know, it takes sacrifice. It takes a little patience. Let me tell you, you talking about, you can do this. If I can do it, you can do it. But this is what we're called to do. Get in there and dive into the Word. No matter if it's the last minute, whatever, just dive into the Word. And watch His goodness unfold in your life. Let me tell you, this ransom, this redeem, a price was paid for you and I. A price was paid for you and I. And we shouldn't waste time. But look, we're running out of time. The word ransom, I had it in my notes for last week, I didn't give it to y'all. It's H6299, Padah. And in ancient Hebrew, it means redeem. And it's where it was first mentioned. I just read it to you in Bereshit 13:13. When it says, every firstborn donkey, you are to ransom. That's the first time we see the word ransom in the scripture. With a lamb. And if you do not ransom it, then you shall break its neck. And every firstborn of man among your sons, you are to ransom. A healthy donkey can carry between 20 or 30% of its body weight. Though this is very dependent on its size, health, and terrain. So from the size of the donkey, it can carry up to 20, 30% of its body weight. So it gave some numbers up there if you want to go look at it. It can carry more on flat ground than steep, uneven surfaces. It will often refuse to move. There comes the stubbornness right here in these male donkeys. Refuse to move if the load is too heavy, letting you know it's time to lighten the burden. Now, you know, sometimes we got to lighten the burden. We lay aside every weight and sin. That's the scripture that comes in there. But we hold on to one or the other, and you know, it becomes a burden to us. Let me give you, I think I have a few scriptures on that. Before we get into the good meat of the word here. In Psalms 55:22 says, cast your burden on Yehovah and let Him sustain you. He never allows the righteous to be shaken. In Isaiah 10, at verse 20. And in that day it shall be that a remnant instruct them, but shall lean upon Yehovah, the set apart one of Israel, in truth. Today, there's coming time we're going to have to lean on him in truth. He's going to be our only stay. A remnant shall return, the remnant of Yaakov, to the mighty El. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return, a decisive end, overflowing with righteousness. For the Master Yehovah hosts is making a complete end, as decided, in the midst of all the earth. Therefore thus says the Master Yehovah hosts, my people who dwell in Sion, be not afraid of Ashur, who struck you with a rod, and lift up his staff against you in the way of Mitzrayim. For yet a little while, and a displeasure shall be completed, and my displeasure be to their destruction. And Yehovah of hosts stirs up a lash for him as the smiting of Midian and the rock of Or, as his rod was on the sea, so he shall lift it up in the way of Mitzrayim. And in that day it shall be that his burden is removed from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing oil. I just want you to just point out that this burden, I'll tell you, it's heavy on some people that's out in the world today. They think they can escape, you know, Yehovah in some kind of way by doing whatever they do these days. I mean, it's gotten so crazy out there. We have to stay focused. And we got to lay aside, like I said, the burden that's been on us, that some of us have been carrying for a long time. We got to get rid of these burdens. Another scripture on that, and that word, if you want to look at the burdens, old, which some of us carry old burdens. That's what it sounds like. In Matthew, just a couple more. Matthew 11 and verse 28. It says, come unto me, all you who labor and are burdened or heavy laden, using the King James, and I shall give you rest. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your being. For my yoke is gentle, and my burden is light. And you know, if you take on the burden of the world, it's very stressful. You'll be pulling your hair out by the end of the day. I didn't do that like that. You have to look that way. But we got to take on his burden. Yeah, we'll take on his burden. Or pull your beard out. We don't want to do that. We got to lay on his burden. His burden is light. Why? That's rough. We got to take his yoke and learn from him. Oh man, y'all is good.
You better hold your head.
Matthew 23.
Matthew 23. Be nice.
And Yeshua spoke to the crowd and to his thought one, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on the seat of Moshe. These are some of the world's burdens right here. Yeshua's about to tell us about. Therefore, whatever they say to you to guard, guard and do. But do not do according to their works what they say and do not do. Worldly burdens. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but with their finger they do not wish to move them. Ain't nobody. Our master wants to lift these burdens from us. But they do up. People take on more on their shoulders than what they need to. These are some of these heavy, these stuff will weigh you down. And when they weigh you down, you can't operate like God wants you to. Because you're like the donkey, then you just quit walking, quit moving, because you're too overloaded.
That's right.
Scripture that speaks. You gotta let the scripture speak to
you. Mm-hmm.
In Luke 11, verse 46. And he said, woe to you. And he said, woe to you also, you learned in the Torah, because you load men with burdens hard to bear. And you yourself do not touch the burdens 6. It's not Matthew speaking. This is all these worldly burdens that we take on that we don't need. That thing in our life we don't need. Let me give you one more. Galatians 6:5. For each one shall bear his own burden. You know, the load we put on us, sometimes it's self-inflicted. But if we let him, if we take on his yoke and his burden, how many of them take easy in their life?
Yeah.
So this is why we have these classes. This is why we have these Wednesday night, our Shabbat team, to do what? To lift the load off of us. Look, it's been heavy all week. Get that load off of you. When you come in tonight, leave work at work, leave home at home. Come ahead and learn of him. This is what we want. This is what we want to come sit down and learn of him.
Amen.
Having that stuff don't problem with nothing anyway. Now, this is a little note, something I looked at. A mule. That's another guy. He's a mule. A mule is a hybrid. It's a mixture between a male donkey and a female horse. So you know what mule? You know what y'all said about mixture, huh?
No way.
I'm just saying. So I didn't go down that road. I just wanted to point that out about a mule. Because sometimes we think we're a mule, but we're really not. All right, listen now. Let's get some more meat here. The American Mammoth Jackstock is the world's largest breed of donkeys, standing at 56 inches tall, 4'8". Some of y'all don't know. Tape measure. Weighing in at 900 to 1,200 pounds. They are valued for their strength, sure-footedness, and calm, intelligent, and temperament. He's some big old donkey. I look at them today. So I can imagine, not the common folks back then, I don't think they had these donkeys. Maybe the Pharaoh might have had these. We're not giving, but I'm just giving you some little touch on these, some of these donkeys. So they can carry some good weight. Like I said, one that's real fit and ready for use, it can haul a load. So I just wanted to point out these donkeys. And you got to go back and do your own thing, but let's go back to our Torah portion, because we're going to get down to something that's important right here, too. So these are these male donkeys that we talked about. The female American mammoth, she's just a little bit shorter, standing in at 54 inches, 4'7". It's a little bit long, but she's not as big as the males. I ain't know, but she can carry a load, too. So these female donkeys, let me give you, I just gave it to you a little while ago, but I'll give it to you again. H860, a thone. It's probably from the same as H386 in a sense of patience. A female donkey from his docility. What is that? Docility, yeah. Is the quality of being easily managed, taught or led, characterized by a willingness to yield to the wishes of others. Ladies, female donkeys. It involves submissiveness, and a lack of resistance, and can be applied to people or animals. This docility. While often associated with obedience, it can also be viewed positively. Yes, as a form of teachability or willingness to accept guidance and counsel. I thought she was these female donkeys. And you know, when you look at the ancient Hebrew, this ancient Hebrew says it's a gift that these female donkeys have.
See them life.
And it says it's from 386. It's the same as Athon. It's perpetual, constant, perennial, ever flowing. And it also, when you look in the ancient Hebrew, the C and the E, it goes to gift and strong. So If I had to title this message, then you can learn a lot from a donkey in Scripture. So in Numbers 22, let's look at a famous story right here. Numbers 22, let's start at verse 21. The one that we had several times before. And Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the heads of Moab. But the displeasure of Elohim burned because he went. And the messenger of Jehovah stationed himself in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the messenger of Jehovah standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the way. Now, there was something I read in here. Because this female donkey, let me go back to it. There are no, I think this is, when it said about the mammoth, it was pointing to the male and the female. And I think it's just more on the female side. Because they are known for being calm, intelligent, and affectionate. With a laid-back attitude that makes them excellent trail mounts. They are also sure-footed and have tendencies to stop and think before reacting to a situation. This female donkey is stinking. What do I do now? Let me turn aside. I believe it's a disappointed female. And then, now I know it's female because it tells in Scripture. But before I got to that, it was just I was reading on it. I was like, what kind of donkey? This is a female donkey. He ain't talking about no male. That's a male donkey. It can be very stubborn sometimes.
Amen.
Y'all don't know no male donkey is stubborn. Huh? So this female donkey stops and thinks before she acts. And the donkey saw the messenger, and she went. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the way. Verse 24. The messenger of Jehovah stood in a narrow passage between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the messenger of Jehovah, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. And the messenger of Jehovah went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn aside, right or left. And let me tell you something, that's how I felt today yesterday when Brother Rob called and said, Brother, I ain't going to make it. I felt like this donkey trapped on both sides. And I'm like, okay, there's nowhere to go, but I'm going to sit down. And I had no trouble to sit down. You did that, I'll call pastor. You know what? We're grown. You know what? It's time, whether it's your turn or not, and I say this, and so I stand by it. I'm going to do what I can. Unless something really happens the way I really can. But if I got time, I'm going to put notes together. And when the donkey saw the messenger of Jehovah, she laid down under Balaam. So Balaam's displeasure burned, and he struck the donkey with his staff 3 times. Then Jehovah opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, why, what have I done to you that you have stricken me these 3 times? A talking donkey? How you know they made movies about a talking donkey? They made a TV show about a talking donkey. Oh, no, it was a horse. It was dead. I'm mad. That was Mr. Ed. That was Mr. Ed. I'm sorry. But hey, they got movies with donkeys in them. But can you imagine the spot right here? He's so out of it. I mean, the Bible talks about him later on. He's this man talking to the donkey. I don't think he even realized it. And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have mocked me, and I wish there was a sword in my hand, for I would have killed you by now. You think he's mad? And the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I not your pet? You need to have me around the house. Yeah, look, I was loyal to you. That's how we should be to our master. He said, was I ever known time. See, I've come out to stand against you because your way is reckless before me. Mm-hmm. And the donkey, you know, sometimes donkeys are smarter than people, saw me and turned aside from me these three times. He had time to think. Remember the pattern that goes, you had time to think before you react. If she had not turned aside from me, I certainly would have killed you by now and let her live. Told you, we can learn a lot from that donkey. I don't think it's no accident y'all put these stories in here. Sometimes they might sound funny. But we just got to go back and read them because they're very important. A donkey? Who wants to read about a donkey? We know about a donkey. Maybe you know some of these things that I brought out to you tonight. Everybody's mad at donkey. I know nothing about them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something I wanted to point out. In Matthew 21, verse 1, and when he came, the master, he said, it's so important. They all through, not just in the Torah portion, and all what we read throughout the scriptures, the psalm, mm-hmm. and the writing, ain't our master. Mm-hmm. But now, it talks about it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll give you the verses. But it's the only place it talks about it in the Brit Nice Shabbat. You know what? Having a donkey is important. I think back then, back in those days, the donkey you had was important. Like I said, it did a lot of work for the people. So, and when they came near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Yeshua sent two talk ones, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied and a coat with her. Loosen them and bring them to me. And if anyone says whatever to you, you shall say, the master needs them. And immediately he shall send them. And all this took place that it might be filled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your sovereign is coming to you, meek and sitting on a donkey, even a coat, the foal of a donkey. Now Zechariah 9:9. And the talk ones went, and having done as Yeshua ordered them, they brought the donkey and the coat and laid their garments on them, and he sat on them. And most of the crowd spread out their garments on the way, while others cut down branches from the tree and spread them on the way. And the crowds who went before and those who followed cry out, saying, Hosanna to the son of David. Blessed is he who's coming in the name of Jehovah. Hosanna in the highest. I wanted to show you that. This donkey, in the Greek, is onos. And the colt is G4454 polos. And this foal, the foal of a donkey. Let me go back. Would be G5207. Weos. It's colt. It's 44 in the pull off. It's a young male. It's never been worked. It's carrying our master. Humble. That's the thing. We can learn a lot because these donkeys, like I said, when I read the description of how they're, we think of it as a negative because we think the world is stubborn. That's how we were taught. But you know, they're patient. And they help carry the load. Sometimes we can learn a lot from these donkeys. I think that's 5207, yeah, foal. It's a son. A young male son is the donkey's son. Female son right here that Yeshua was by and redeemed the firstborn. So I just thought that all this kind of connected to me when I was going through it. Mm-hmm. So let me give you these verses, but it also talks about pretty much the same story. One's in Mark verse 1 through 9. But I'm going to start at verse 2. And he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately entering into it, you shall find a colt tied in which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Says, the master needs it, and send it back straightway. So they went and found the colt tied by the doorside outside on the street, and they loosened it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing loosening the colt? And they said to them, as Yeshua had said. So they let him go. The master needs it. You know, sometimes the master needs you and I. You know, the world wants to keep you bound and tied up. You know, he wants to set you free. This is why we're here, to be set free. That's why we got to preach the message. Get it out as quick as we can. Let me tell you, that's when people that are bound up and their life is on the line, literally. So it's up to you and I. In Luke 19, verse 28. We'll look at verse 30. It's a good number to skip. Verse 28. And having said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to be when he came near to Bethphage and Bethanwah and the Mount of Olives, that he sent two of his taught ones, saying, go into the village opposite you, in which as you enter, you shall find a colt tied on which no one had ever sat. Loosen it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why do you loosen it? Thus you shall say to him, because the master hath need of it. How many of you know the master hath need of it, you and I? I'm there. I'm so glad he needs me. But in a positive way. I need him. Mm-hmm. He wants us.
Mm-hmm.
But the master, some things in the master, he needs, when you and I, he needs you and I in a way that help reach others. That's the meaning part. Because it's up to you and I to carry this word. And what was one of the donkey's characteristics, trait, to carry the load. So you and I, we're not actual donkeys, but we have that characteristic that we can, don't be a mule, be a donkey. Let me give you one more. It's in John 12, and start at verse 12. On the next day, a great crowd who had came to the festival, when they heard that Yeshua was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and were crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who is coming in the name of Jehovah, the Sovereign of Israel. And verse 14, and Yeshua, having found a young donkey, sat on it, as it has been written, do not fear, daughter of Zion, see your Sovereign is coming, sitting on the coat of a donkey. Let me tell you, when he returns, the scriptures say, coming on a horse, goodbye, he's coming as a man of battle. But we can't get it too confused. Now, the donkey, right here, the use of a young donkey, which had never been ridden, also symbolizes humility. And this is what our master, he humbled himself. Even all the way to the cross, where we learn how he bled and how he suffered, and to be stripped from here, from the tree of death. I mean, stripped from the tree of life. Tree of life, the tree of death. And you wonder why he cried out. You know, we would cry out too. When you don't have him, when nothing else going wrong, you have him to cry out to. You have this tree of life. But it all starts with what? Humility. And why? Because he did it. He showed us the way. Because why? He is the way. There is no other way. So this is, I didn't think I was going to get all this in tonight, honestly. Because when I'm sitting down, it really slows you down. You got to read, you got to dig. But I guess that's what takes the time. But once you get it all down here, you know, it goes pretty quick. So that was the end of my book.
Amen.
But the use of this donkey, that in this verse 23 of Bereshit 45, it kind of slowed me down. I'm like, talking about donkeys? But it goes to show you the significance, the value of it. Because like I said, the world paints a different picture on what a donkey has. Is all this is stubborn, you know. And it can be, I'm sure it can be stubborn because it gives us a warning. Don't plow with two different kind of animals. Don't use an aqua and a donkey. They won't work together. You got to use two aqua, use two donkeys. Let me tell you something. God knows what he's talking about.
Amen.
So
that's right.
I hope this helps out for y'all tonight. And just to show you the significance of something that you and I had to be redeemed. That's the part that really struck me when I went to this part about it had redeemed by a clean out and by a lamb. A master was that clean out that redeemed you and I. If you would have gone, we'd have been his neck broke. If and I've been for Yah's provision for in our lives. Amen.